Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Monday, June 27th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
I think it's 16, but yeah, good afternoon, Melody.
What were you up to? How are you doing today?
I can't complain.
No? Okay.
I'm terrified by Brexit. Oh, my gosh. The sky is truly falling, Melody.
It is?
Yes. I'd go down to the hardware store and buy a hard hat, except I'm afraid I'll be hit by the chunks of sky.
Oh. Well, it is kind of interesting, and I think also with my opinion and experiences, I think the key thing is really the banks. And if there's any area that needs to be addressed or concerns, I think it's in that area. But first, let's go ahead and talk about the gold market today. We had another little pop today, up $10.90 at $1,327. You have silver up two at $17.84. Platinum was down eight at $981, and palladium was up seven at $560. And it's really kind of funny to read all these commentary. It's all profit taking and this and that and so forth. And it's like, you know, the markets are just, I don't think the markets really know what direction to go in anything. I mean, if there was big concerns, gold would be, you know, at 1800 by now. We'll take what we can get. And, let me go ahead and see if I can get the USDX today was up strong 0.93 at 96.47. Crude oil was down 0.92 at 46.72. And I just messed up my computer here. The paper markets today, they did come back a little bit. They were over 300 points earlier in the day. The Dow is down 260 points at 17,140. The NASDAQ is down 113, almost 2.5%, 45.94. And I remember when the NASDAQ was going over their 5,000 historic high, I said it wasn't going to last long, and it certainly didn't. The S&P was down 36, hitting right at 2,000. 10-year yield, that's amazing, 1.46%, down 0.12. The euro is holding at 110, and Japan took back some of its losses from Friday, but most of the European markets were down 2.5%. Germany was down over 3%. Hong Kong was down almost 3%. So there was about $2.5 trillion that was wiped off the markets on Friday, and you know, considering it's worldwide, I'm not sure what was lost today and overnight. We'll get more on that here in just a little bit, but I think also, Al, the banks were hit pretty hard. Barclays and RBS, their shares were suspended from trading. Of course, over there, their trading stops when something tanks more than 8%. Some of Britain's biggest firms were suspended for trade because they all dropped more than 8%. But the UK banks were the worst performers. You had the Royal Bank, they lost 23%. Barclays lost 18%. You had losses in the Italian lenders. They were a little limited, just a little bit, so they didn't get as hit as hard as those two. Let's see what else kind of interesting was going on. You know, some of the bigger companies over there also fell into where their stocks fell over that 8%, and their trading was halted. But the pound fell once again today, and I believe that hit you know, another low. So, and also, Al, they had the their ratings were, which is interesting. I don't understand why their rating was reduced. They had AAA rate credit rating, and it's just reduced. I mean,
I think it's just intended to scare the other countries that are contemplating their own exit from the European Union.
I think so.
I think they're just, oh, watch out. What if you be careful? If you try to step out of here, you'll be sorry. We'll watch and see who's sorry and who's not sorry before this is done. A lot of people think Britain's going to have, they think there's going to be some trouble for Britain in the short or intermediate term. They admit that Britain may do well over the long term, but I think Britain will do okay. And part of the reason I think that is I think the British people, they're going to have there's going to be a shakeout over there and get rid of the treasonous whores who've been trying to sell their country down the river to join the New World Order, the European Union, and so on. They're going to get back, and I think they're going to develop an us-versus-them mentality, meaning they're going to get a little more of a Fortress England versus the rest of the world mentality. I don't mean in the sense that they're going to be looking for a war or whatever, but I think it may tend to unite the British people. And they may find out that they're going to have to hang together or they're going to hang separately. And I think they're going to start working together in a way that perhaps hasn't been true for the last couple of generations. And it may see and it may work out where ultimately they do better. The nation becomes more cohesive. People begin to think, you know, I'm with that guy over there. He's English. I'm English. We're English. You know, I think they're going to take a certain amount of pride and it may help them. We'll watch and see.
Well, again, I don't think it's so much that it certainly might, you know, from our perspective, they're better off. But you still have to look at the confidence as the world views the fiat currencies of the world. Mm-hmm. It's all based on confidence. It's all the central banks only, their only reason in being in existence today is because of the faith in them. And again, when that is broken, there are consequences. There is a reckoning. Based on what has been done. So that's
this is
where
the danger of a fiat-based currency.
But the point is to say that, you know, England can walk away and agree that perhaps in the future, but that doesn't mean there's not going to be some sort of fallout from this happening just based on a little less confidence, a little less faith. And again, the banks, when you're losing that much, I mean, I don't think they're in the best of shape anyway. And they're not going to be getting any stimulus, you know, from this. So I believe there is going to be a hard road to travel. But as far as their rights, their freedoms, their sovereignty, and I think there's two different issues that are going on here. And, you know, I'm all for, you know, them taking back their country, pulling out of the New World Order, being independent again. but they will have to experience difficulties, and that's what we say is going to happen here in the States. You know, hey, it's let's do what needs to be done, and we can turn things around, but there's still going to be a hard road to haul.
Yeah, probably, but I mean, there's debts come due. We have been foolish enough, England has been foolish enough, we have been foolish enough to allow our countries to go into great debt, right? And the system is operating on the assumption that we can, however much debt we go into this year, we can go into even more next year, and that will pay for this year's debt, and then we'll go even more debt in the third year, it'll pay for the second year's debt, and so on. We go bigger and bigger and bigger. When you hit the limit where you can't go any deeper into debts, there's a problem. Now, how are you going to pay the bills? And the answer is you're going to raise taxes, or you're going to sell off assets, or you are not going to pay the bills. You're going to repudiate them and admit you're bankrupt. But we're getting to a point where we've used the MasterCard to pay off the Visa, to pay off the American Express, and we're running out of credit cards. What are we going to do then? We actually have to become productive again. We can't just run on credit. We have to run on productivity, and that's going to make for a major change, and it will be painful and unpleasant for Europe. It'll be painful and unpleasant for Great Britain. It'll be painful and unpleasant for the United States. But people need to understand it is an inevitable consequence of allowing government to go deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. Someday the debt has to be paid. And it's going to be left to people who didn't even incur it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be paying debt that we didn't even incur, and that's especially true for the kids in this country. Right? I mean, at my age, you can sit back and say my generation incurred the debt. Well, yeah, maybe. But for sure, it wasn't people under 30 that incurred this enormous debt. And yet they are going to be held liable for paying the debt. Will they pay it? I wouldn't. If I was in that age group, I would tell all the old folks, including me, I'd say, you guys spent all the money. You pay it. I'm not going to pay your debts. This is why you should have a balanced budget. In government, if you only have $1 trillion to spend, you don't get to spend $2 trillion. You get to spend $1 trillion, and you have to figure it out. You have to make the hard choices.
And that is exactly why when we had a currency that was backed by gold, there was accountability. And that is why once they recall gold, and the currency was no longer backed by gold, this is why we have the runaway system that we have. And that's not going to change until our monetary system changes. And so I'm not sure, which horse comes first. I think England is certainly making that choice. And those, I remember reading articles prior to their vote. People were out there. They were buying gold. They were getting rid of their pounds. They were in there buying gold because they knew what was going to happen. Look how smart those people were that had the foresight to go ahead and exchange their worthless currencies into gold. And this is what it's all about. It's all about the fiat currency. And again, it's going to be painful. And if you don't protect your assets, it's just not about bartering. It's just not about going out and buying something. It's about protecting your assets. It's protecting all the things that you work so hard for, your savings, your retirement, because they're not going to help you keep it. They're not going to help you protect it. And this is another prime example. And we see all these examples that come up. Look at Cyprus. Oh, that was an example. That was and some people prepared and some didn't. And we keep getting notices of what's going to happen here. But
no, we keep getting notices of what's going to happen in other places. I mean, the fundamental idea is it can't happen here. Or won't
exactly.
happen very soon. And when it does happen, and it's going to, and people get caught in the belief that it can't happen here or won't happen very soon, they're going to get caught and they are going to scream at the injustice of it. And the truth of the matter is there's no injustice to it. It is an inevitability that was set in motion when we agreed to use a fiat currency. We're coming to that point. Might get there this year, might get there, who knows, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. I don't know where it gets there. But we're going to get there, and those who are prepared will be best able to survive and perhaps even prosper, while those who aren't prepared, they say, why didn't somebody tell me? We've been telling you, and we're not the only ones. The information's out there. Care to believe it and act on it.
Yeah. And I had someone who sent me an email, one of the many that I receive, and they were talking about mining shares. Mining shares is not gold, is not physical gold. You're still buying the corporation. If you buy mining shares, you should know who the corporation is. That is what you're buying. You're not buying the gold. And I went to look to see what mining shares did today, and it was a mixed bag. 50% of them were up, 50% of them were down. Friday, they were all up. But it just goes to show you, it's not necessarily just because gold is going up, just because there's a little bit more fear coming into the market, doesn't mean that everything is going to go up in the shares. You're not going, how many people truly believe you're going to make 1,300% in 30 days? Are you kidding me? I just get puzzled. I get puzzled. But there's a lot of people who believe that. And it's just carnival barking. And you're not going to, I suppose you could. But what are the chances? What are the risks?
If it'll go up 1,300% in 30 days, it'll go down 2,000% in the next 30 days. And if you want to guess, if you want to gamble on this, that's what you're doing. All right, this is a gamble. You're going to Las Vegas and you're betting, you're playing roulette. And you're betting that it's going to come out 7. All right, put all your money on it. And it might come out 7. And if it does, you're going to make a lot of money. But if it comes out any one of the other numbers on the roulette wheel, you're going to lose.
And at least.
But if you want to get, if you want to gamble, you can gamble. I get that. And there's a certain amount of gambling with any investment we talk about. That's a fact. But there's the least amount of gambling when you're dealing with gold and silver.
At least when you're in Vegas, they give you a free drink. So
yeah,
when you lose it, you don't feel as bad.
You know, you were talking about how much money was being lost. Here's an article from Zero Hedge, and it says, who are the biggest losers from Brexit? It says, yesterday we warned the European Union is nothing without Britain. And it seems that that's being borne out by today's price action. There are two big losers from the Brits' decision to leave. United Kingdom billionaires and the rest of Europe. First of all, UK stocks dropped almost 3% today, no doubt an ugly day. But the British stock market is the best performing European stock market today. The rest of Europe did worse than Britain. There's even a bigger loser than the European Union. Britain's 15 wealthiest citizens had $5.5 billion erased from their collective fortune Friday after the country voted to leave the European Union. And then they list the losses of some of Britain's wealthiest. But the important point to this article is to summarize the two parties who were pushing for Britain to stay in the European Union. That would be the wealthy elite of Britain and the European Union itself. Are the biggest losers of the British vote for self-determination. There's great justice in that, but here's the point. It says Britain's 15 wealthiest citizens had $5.5 billion erased from their collective fortunes Friday after the country voted to leave the European Union. That is the danger in fiat currency. It's not as if Melody was investing in something and she loses 10 ounces of gold and I pick up the 10 ounces of gold. Right, and the 10 ounces of gold still exists. Melody lost 10 ounces, I got the 10 ounces, but the 10 ounces and whoever's got it, somebody's still got the 10 ounces of gold, they still exist. That doesn't happen with fiat currency. When things go badly, it just vaporizes. It's gone. It's not a question of Melody had 10 ounces and now I have the 10 ounces. It's the 10 ounces have disappeared from the economy, and that diminishes the money supply and does great damage. $5.5 billion paper wealth vaporized in the last couple of days. That's the sort of thing that is scary. We'll talk more when we get back. Take a break for some commercials. Millet and I will return on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, what's next, Melody?
Well, we were talking about how folks need to preserve their purchasing power and their retirements, and because no one else will do it for them. This weekend, I spent some time with my family, and my cousin and her husband work for Tyco. He's been with Tyco for 40 years. She's been with Tyco for 38 years. And that alone is a rarity anymore in today's world.
Yeah.
And what they do is, you know, that there's several others that have been there a long time, and they bring in management fresh out of college that really don't have a clue on how to, you know, and they both work in the production area, and these young managers really don't have a clue with the real world. You know, it's all about numbers. And they're concerned because what's happening is with the people that retire, they give their 2 weeks notice, and before their 2 weeks are up, they're terminated. So they don't have to get their severance pay. And it affects their insurance, it affects their plans. A couple of them have tried to go to an attorney and so forth to see if they could get it, and it's like, no. And it hasn't just happened to one person, it's kind of become the rule of thumb. You don't want to give notice before you quit or you lose your severance pay. And, they actually found other ways to avoid paying the severance pay. So this is how companies are rewarding their longtime employees. This is how the government is going to reward those who saved in retirement accounts and pension plans and IRAs. There's $20 trillion sitting there, and you're on your own, folks. It's not going to be protected for you. And in fact, it'll probably, a lot of it, be taken from you. So I just thought
it will perhaps disappear depending on how the media you store it in. It will be perhaps be captured, stolen, because it's kept in a digital media that's easily taken. I mean, talk to the hackers. They understand these things. I guarantee the government does. I'm not saying that the government is stealing money every single day, but it will not be a surprise. The government is thinking about it. You can bet on it. They're having serious conversations about, well, just in case. You know, just in case we really have a difficult problem here and we can't make the pensions for the congressmen and the senators, maybe we're going to have to rob the public of their pensions. What do you think?
And you know what's funny with all this going on with Brexit and so forth, I saw today, I don't have it in front of me, but China, they devalued their currency once again. I mean, it's to the lowest level that it's been in 5 years.
Yeah, so but the purpose behind these devaluations is supposedly that it will make their products more attractive on the international market, and they'll sell more goods to foreign countries because their currency has been inflated and depreciated in value. Every country's been doing this, and others are saying, oh, my gosh, the British pound is falling, the British pound. Well, maybe so, but they're going to sell more Rolls Royces if the British pound goes down.
The point
they won't be able
China
to buy more Chevrolets, but they'll be able to sell more Rolls Royces.
It's not necessarily
a bad thing for Britain. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but, it's, you know.
The point I brought up about China is because they promised and they tell everyone that, oh, we don't manipulate our currencies, but now it's at the lowest level in 5 years. And again, everything else, no one's paying attention to the rest of the markets because everything is all focused, you know, on England. So
Brexit. What's for Brexit, Melody? It's not just for Brexit anymore. Here's another article on Brexit. It's the big news. I don't know if it's news at all, but it's hard to see. It's hard to distinguish between what is real news and what is illusory news. And the reason I say that is because as we talked earlier in the program, Melody's pointing out the banks may be in a lot of trouble because the banks and the value of the currency is, it depends on public confidence. And if anything rattles that public confidence, then oh my gosh, bank stocks can fall, the value of currencies can fall, people can all of a sudden start buying a bunch of gold. This is all psychological. Psychological has its own kind of reality, I get that, but it's not the same thing as fundamentals like supply and demand. I mean, it's hard to draw the line between insofar as we are dependent on psychological factors like confidence. How do we measure confidence? How do we control it? How do we inspire it? How do we reduce it? Should there be a crime? Should we hold people accountable if they reduced public confidence? He has to be jailed for 3 years. That's hate speech or something like that. What are we doing with that? You know, it's difficult to discern where to draw the line, if a line is even possible, between the effects in the markets that are purely psychological and the effects that have that are based on some tangible reality. And right now what we're seeing is a big to-do about the Brexit. And so far nothing has really happened other than the British have had a vote. They voted to leave the European Union. If they play by the rules, it's going to be there will be two more years of negotiations before Britain actually leaves the European Union. This process has just barely begun, and nothing has happened yet other than they had a referendum. This referendum is not much different in a lot of respects than someone took a telephone poll and said, call people up. Do you think we should leave? Do you think Britain should leave the European Union or should they stay? We talked to 1,500 people. We did a sample, and the numbers came out. 52% said get out, and 48% said stay. Well, that's an interesting it's an interesting poll of public opinion. But what did it change? What did it do? It was just a poll. This is a referendum. This has put something into motion, right? And even that hasn't happened yet. All they did is they said, we want you to put it in motion. And some people are saying, we aren't going to really make the application under Rule 50 until perhaps October, when Cameron, the prime minister, steps down in England, and a new prime minister and a new government in England takes.
Oh, they'll replace him before then, Al.
Well, it may be, but
they'll replace him. But
whenever they do it, this thing is not even. All that's happened right now is people expressed an opinion poll.
Well, I get that, and they still have to pass the, you know, the whatever, what was it called, of the
Rule 50, some
rule
sort of
50.
An application.
And, you know, I mean, I get that, but the point of it is, what I, again, as I stress the importance of this, I think this was the beginning. I think you are going to see other events that are going to be happening here in the near future. And yeah, maybe perhaps we haven't seen that yet, but once you rattle the bee's nest and those bee's nests and those bees come out, I mean, there's a lot of places around the world that has just stirred up and,
We're in the situation where are these bees real or are they illusory?
I think
are
the
they
debt
real
of the world,
or are they psychological?
I think the debt of the world is real. I think the problems that we experience, that we see financially around the world, is real. I think the economies around the world that are ready to collapse is real. So there's a lot of real there. I mean, how can you deny that we're how many trillions of dollars in debt in this country?
I understand, but trillions of dollars in debt in what? In a dollar that's worth a nickel compared to what it was 40 years ago. What does that mean? Does anyone know? And it's going to be worth maybe a penny compared to what it's worth today in the next several years. What does that mean? The whole thing is just some kind, it is bizarre. You know, I've mentioned this on the radio program. I think I've talked about this a time or two before. But in the Old Testament, they have a jubilee every 50 years where all the debt was canceled. Right? And if I borrowed $1,000 from Melody and we came on the jubilee, the debt was canceled. And I can say, yippee, I don't have to pay Melody back. And Melody will say, darn, I'm not going to get my $1,000 back. But in the Old Testament, the important point was the debt was denominated in cattle or gold or silver. It was denominated in something physical and real. And even though Melody might lose the $1,000 that she'd loaned to me, that $1,000 continues to exist in the economy. Those chunks of gold, the chunks of silver, they're still there. Melody doesn't have them, but I do. They're still there to stimulate the economy. In today's world with a fiat monetary system, if we go through a situation like they mentioned one of the articles from Zero Hedge we talked about in the previous segment, they're talking about the 15 richest billionaires, the 15 richest people in Europe or in England lost $5.5 billion, I believe is what they said. And they didn't just lose it. It disappeared. It ceased to exist. It's no longer around. They had treated this, and this is why we can't have a jubilee in this country or in Europe. We can't have a jubilee like they have in the Old Testament because it not only wipes out the debt, it wipes out the correlative assets. Mm-hmm. Once we embraced a debt-based monetary system, we stepped into this fantastic Alice in Wonderland world where things are just flat out strange. Where do we come up with concepts like negative interest rates? They are the logical consequence of an irrational premise. And that irrational premise is that we can use fiat currency, just hand out pieces of paper with somebody's signature on it, and it's as good as a gold coin. There's no difference. That's what they would have you believe. And in fact, there's enormous difference. The one can be wiped out, bang, right now, gone, disappeared, nothing. You can have a trunk full of those paper debt instruments squirreled away, buried in the ground, put in a bomb shelter, and if someone does something peculiar, they can turn out to be worthless this afternoon. On the other hand, you got a trunk filled full of gold coins, and no matter what they do, those gold coins are still there. They will have value in the same sense they've had value for the last 3,000 years. We are caught in a bizarre world because we have accepted a bizarre currency, and we did that because we were ignorant. We didn't understand what was going on. We assumed that because it spends, it must be okay. Well, you're going to learn. We're going to learn a lot about money. People are going to learn about money over the course of the next several years, and they're going to learn that it's not just something you count. All most people know about money right now is a 5 is better than a 1, and a 10 is better than a 5, and a 50 is better than all of them, and a 100 is better than those others. $100 bills. But they're just a piece of paper. At best, right now, even digital, they're even less than that, ones and zeros. We're going to learn about money. And we are going to learn to value tangible wealth that's stored in the form of tangible money like gold and silver. The reason we'll learn that is because many of us, most of us, are storing our wealth in the form of paper debt instruments and digital dollars in a bank account and the rest of that. Day is coming when they are going to disappear for us, just like 5.5 million disappeared for these billionaires. The day is coming when it will disappear for you and me and everyone else in this country. 5.5 billion erased from their collective fortune on Friday, according to Zero Hedge. And they got that information from Bloomberg.
The lessons won't be learned until the loss has occurred, and that's the problem.
That's the unfortunate thing. And the lessons, and part of the reason for that is this is such a difficult and slippery concept to grasp. Try to explain to people that your paper dollars aren't real. That's not real money. And they look at you as if you're speaking in tongues. And say, what's wrong with that guy? He says, of course it's money. I can go down to the store and buy myself a cheeseburger. Or if I got a stack of these $100 bills, I can go buy myself a new car. Well, yeah, you can purchase a new car. You can purchase a cheeseburger. You can also find out that that stuff isn't worth anything tomorrow morning. And you won't be able to get a cheeseburger. And you won't be able to get a car with a bushel basket full of those $100 bills. That lesson is going to come through, and when it does, people are going to be forced to learn something that for the moment seems fantastic and impossible. Again, sounds like I'm speaking in tongues, but I'm not. And if you can grasp these concepts, they are reasons why, if you have wealth and you want to protect that wealth, you need to think very seriously about putting your wealth, storing it in a medium that has physical reality, not just digital reality, not just paper reality, in the form of physical reality. Could be tools, could be guns, could be bullets, could be gold, could be silver. But if you're going to trust in these pieces of paper, they're going to be erased the same way. And we're talking about, again, Britain's 15 wealthiest citizens had $5.5 billion erased on Friday. $5.5 billion didn't fall into my hands or Melody's hands or something. It just disappeared. And we're not talking about the dumbest people in the world. We're talking about 15 wealthiest citizens. These guys should know something. And yet they suffered this enormous loss.
Yeah, to me, $5 billion amongst 15 billionaires. that's not too much money. $2.5 trillion off the world markets is a whole lot more.
Oh, I agree.
When you consider world markets, you know, it's
still the point.
To me, that's a bigger number for people. They're not billionaires.
Disappears is the point. If they can lose it, so can everyone in this audience who's storing their wealth in something other than a tangible form. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, talking about the metaphysics of money. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Course. And what's next, Melody?
I have a little silver special here. It does include some 90% silver, $20 face value. It's an all silver special. 21 ounce silver rounds. And 20 one-ounce silver eagles, and the price on that, well, hold on again, folks. I just have Carla's bringing me the special, $1,077. That includes all your shipping costs. So we have 20 one-ounce silver eagles. The euro, and those are one-ounce silver rounds. These are the buffalo rounds, very beautiful. I like our buffalo rounds better than a lot of the competitors. They put their advertisements on there and so forth. And these are just really nice buffalo rounds. 20 of those and $20 face value of quarters and dimes of 90% silver. And the total package is $1,077. Your shipping costs. So make sure you give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you site at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
We've got a caller, Jill from Arkansas. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Melody.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, howdy. Yeah, I wanted to say this. I think I've got an idea for something that at this time could be a really, really good investment besides gold and silver, and that's this. You know, people are saying that this is the most unusual election for a long, long, long time in this country. And so I'm thinking that maybe something that might be a good investment is souvenirs from this election, like especially Trump hats and Trump T-shirts. You know, I'm thinking that they might go like baseball cards or something like that. You know, I'm thinking that maybe in 10 or 15 years, you know, if you buy a Trump hat now, it might be worth $500 or $1,000 or something like that in 10 or 15 years. And
you
I would think that Bernie souvenirs
capsule.
Might be.
You could bury him in a
yeah,
time
and
capsule
that
and let the archaeologists of the future dig him up and say, oh, my gosh, treasure. We found, I think this is from the fabled Trump election.
Hey, Joe, you can put them next to your Iraqi dinars.
Yeah, that's probably
well,
right.
Except, well, no. It's like baseball cards, you know, for instance, from the 1950s, you know, or comic books from the 1950s that you bought for a dime way back then. You know, of course,
yeah,
now they're worth
still
hundreds and thousands of dollars each, I understand. So
yep.
I think probably Trump hats and Trump T-shirts, you know, especially, and maybe Bernie souvenirs also, you know, in 10 or 15 or 20 years or something like that, you know, they'll be worth a lot of money. I think it's something that might be worth, you know, putting a bit of one's money into.
Worth a lot of money, or they might by then, they might be evidence of hate speech. And if we catch you hiding any of those Trump hats or Trump T-shirts down in your basement or up in your attic, maybe we'll have to jail you. World is changing.
Yeah.
You know, crazy world.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm
going to
tell you one thing.
It could go that way.
The gold is still going to have value. I mean, the rest of the stuff is speculative. It might have some value. You might be able to make a slow buck. You might be able to make a fast buck. But you're still talking about this. You're still talking about making money in terms of paper. And from my perspective, it just tends to be,
What makes those older election buttons and so forth valuable is the of them. And I don't, you know, and so, you know, you don't know in advance what will be scarce or not in any being created today. It's just like the 1 ounce American Gold Eagle coins that are slabbed Mint State 70. Well, you know, that might be fine 100 years from now because, if all the ones that are circulated or melted down or lost or beat up and so forth, it might make them a rare coin, but it doesn't really do anything for you today. And I think we need to be worried about today and trying to preserve your wealth. Would fall under the lines of a hobby, you know, maybe picking something up for something, but I certainly, you know.
It's a gamble. It's a gamble in the end. It's not really an investment.
I wouldn't want to preserve.
It's possible you can make money, but it's a gamble more than an investment.
I wouldn't want to preserve my wealth by buying Trump hats.
Well, you could if you don't want to buy a Trump hat, how about an Obama hat or an Obama, you know, sticker or flag or bumper stickers or something like that? Boy, I bet they're valuable. You have to look for them. They're a couple of years old already, but there must be enormous value, don't you think?
Joe, you usually have some good ideas, and, you know, I guess if you found the right one, something, you know, if you found a Trump button that had an error on it, you know, things like that, but I, you know, so what else?
Yeah,
if you
can find
us
one where vote for Trump and Sanders. If you can find a button that says Sanders is running as his vice president, now that one might have a little value to it.
What else do you have for us, Joe?
Pardon me?
What else
well,
do you
that
have
was
for
the,
us,
that was the thing I called about this time. You know, things do become collector's items. You know, if you can guess what's going to be a collector's item in 10 or 20 years or something like that, you know, it's possible you can make a lot. I certainly wouldn't suggest anyone put all their money into Trump souvenirs or anything like that. But, you know, if somebody wanted to, you could pick up a few for, you know, like about $100 or a couple $100. And it might turn out, it very well might, I would think, turn out to be a very worthwhile investment in 10 or 15 years.
All righty, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right, Joe, we'll keep that in mind. And if we need a financial advisor, you're going to be one of the first ones we talk to. If we find that there's a developing market for Trump souvenirs, we'll be calling you back on that. In the meantime, though, you know, I mean, I'm sure Joe is kind of kidding. He's kind of serious and he's kind of kidding. And I'm just kidding around here, too. But still, you can speculate on anything. And if you do speculate, you may make a fabulous profit. It can happen. But it's like speculating in Las Vegas. Odds are it won't work. Odds are the speculation isn't going to do you the good that you need to have done. You want to get a move on that spectrum. There's not a clean line between investment and speculation, but you have speculation at one end of the spectrum and investment at the other end. From my perspective, You want to move more into investments than speculation. Now, other people that are younger, for example, they may be more interested in speculating. They may sit back, well, I can afford to take a chance. You get to a point in time, get to a certain age, you just say, no, I don't want it. I am not concerned with the return on my money. I'm not concerned with the return on my wealth. In other words, am I making 5%, 10%, 50%? How much am I making on my wealth? I'm not worried about how much I make on my wealth. I'm worried about the return of my wealth. All right? I don't care if I'm making 5% or 50%. Am I going to get my money back? With gold, the answer is yes. With investments, the answer, you tend to get your money back. With speculation, you're risking, you know, you're ready to risk the farm. You know, bet the farm on it. Got a hot idea. And it might work out. But chances are, from my perspective, you're better off making investments than you are in speculating. It's a little more cautious strategy. It doesn't involve as much risk. It doesn't have as much potential for fabulous profits. But also, it doesn't have the same risk of fabulous losses. We've seen gold when gold was doing well. A few years ago, when it rose from up to hit that $1,900 high, it was running about 20% a year. You know, we could hope for more, but gee, that's a heck of a deal. If you can get gold producing 20% a year, I mean, that's a great return, and that's what it's been doing. It's done 20% for the first half of a year. If it manages to sustain itself throughout this year at the same rate as increased price for the first 6 months of the year, we're going to see gold come up 40% in a single year. That's just an extraordinary return. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if it keeps going the way it has, it's not inconceivable. 40% return in a year? You know, while people are looking at a couple of percent on bonds. And it's not speculative in the same sense that paper debt instruments are. We've got another caller, George, from Toronto. Hello, George.
Hi, Al. Hi, Melody.
Hi.
I know this is a little off topic, but it's something you've talked about in the past. It's regarding robots.
Okay.
I was just looking at ArmstrongEconomics.com. Martin Armstrong's a U.S. economist. But it's kind of funny. I'll just read it to you here. Japan's Toshiba 6502.T robot has taken on human form, and visitors to the world's biggest travel show in March, I guess last March, were greeted to a lifelike robot. Under new proposed European legislation that is clearly intended to stop technology advancement, the growing army of robot workers are to be classed as, quote, electronic persons, unquote. And their owners would then be liable to pay Social Security for them. This is an example of how nuts Brussels has become, from regulating cow farts to now wanting to impose the same tax system to robots for their retirement. Okay. End of article.
Well,
I get it. Go ahead.
It's funny. Like it's ludicrous.
I think that was the retirement for the workers that would actually lose their jobs due to the robots.
I don't know if that's true or not. I've seen something on this before about they would subject robots to paying Social Security.
Right, because the robots aren't going to retire, but the jobs that they take from people, that's where that's where the problem arrives, in which we talk about all the time.
Yeah, we talk about it from time to time, and I know it sounds like a crazy idea, but in the end, if a robot is going to take somebody's job, that guy's not going to make any money. He's not going to be able to retire. What's he going to have? What's he going to do? I mean, one way or another, the robots have to be taxed in order to provide adequate support for the people they replace.
That's what I just said, yeah.
Well, I understand. But what I'm saying is, as nutty as the idea sounds, what other alternatives do we have? How are we going to generate enough money for you to retire one day, George, if we replace you with a robot? Just say, well, George, it's been nice talking to you. Where's your retirement coming from?
But it's also another way the multinational corporation gets to avoid taxes, because no longer is there any other, you know, taxes that he has to take out and send to the government. So not only would there be some sort of a retirement tax, there'd also be other taxes, you know, for all areas of the government to collect.
Well, the whole thing, we are stumbling into a brave new world for sure. And, you know, Alice in Wonderland, everything getting curiouser and curiouser, negative interest rates, fiat money, robots being replaced. Don't have to worry about the illegal aliens. You have to worry about the illegal aliens being replaced by legal robots.
Did you see?
Yeah, that may be a section. You know, that may be something, George. What if we decorate our robots with sombreros?
I like it.
Hey,
I like that
what
idea.
What about that? I mean, it's just getting strange. It's been going, the situation is getting beyond the capacity for man to clearly understand and even accept as a species. I mean, there's certain things, I don't know, where are we going, George? Shall we all move to Canada? Will we be safe up in Canada if we all move up there?
I don't think so. No. See, we,
the insanity
we maybe,
is universal, then.
Our robots be wearing jester hats, you know, like the court back from way back when.
Congressmen.
You know,
they're meant to represent congressmen and senators, then.
That's more like it, probably.
Politicians.
Yeah, the guys who created the idea, yeah. Okay, guys, I'll let you go.
All right, George, thank you. Appreciate the information. Now the world's just getting weirder and weirder. And as it does, it becomes more unclear, uncertain. What's happening? What's next? What can we expect? Nobody really knows. The whole thing is becoming increasingly unstable. How do you protect yourself from that instability? You're going to look for something that you can rely on. You know, you're going to look and say, look, this is crazy. It might work. It might not work. I don't want to do that. This over here looks like it's stable and solid and probably it's been going on for 3,000 years. Let's take a shot at that. Interesting times. We are living in interesting times, but we are out of time. So Melody and I will be back tomorrow. I want to thank all of you for listening. Again, we'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank the producer, George from Toronto, and Joe from Arkansas.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, money. In a rich man's world, money, 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 always sunny. In a rich